I speak to you in the name of God, Creator, Redeemer, and Sanctifier. Amen. Please be seated. As we sit here in this beautiful church, we can't help but notice the sound of cars whizzing by on Granville Street just outside our doors. The noise of six lanes of traffic flying by our front entrances is rather hard to completely ignore. It reminds us of the fast-paced world right on our doorstep. People have an urgency to get to their destination. It seems like perpetual motion, perpetual speed. Keep moving, keep the time filled, keep as much in motion as possible. But here, inside this building, only a few meters away, we are saying the opposite. The words slow down seem a gross oversimplification. Not simply slow down, but refocus, renew, reconnect, re-energize, rediscover. Find that silence. Find that voice of God. Find that stillness. Find that still point deep within us. And allow it to come much more carefully into our consciousness, our awareness of God amongst us, our attention turning to the kingdom of heaven or the realm of heaven, here and now. But the constant motion of our world can complicate our deepest desire. I read recently in the Guardian newspaper, our brains are busier than ever before. We're assaulted with facts, pseudo-facts, jibber-jabber, and rumor, all posing as information. I read, trying to figure out what you need to know and what you can ignore is exhausting. At the same time, we're all doing more. 30 years ago, travel agents made our airline and rail reservations. Salespeople helped us to find what we're looking for in shops. Professional typists or secretaries help busy people with correspondence. Now we do most of those things ourselves. We're doing the jobs of 10 different people while still trying to keep up with our lives, our children and parents, our friends, our careers, our hobbies, and our favorite TV shows. I read our smartphones have become Swiss Army knife-like appliances that include a dictionary, a calculator, a web browser, email, a Game Boy, appointment calendar, a voice recorder, a guitar tuner, a weather forecaster, a GPS, a texter, a tweeter, a Facebook updater, and a flashlight. They're more powerful and do more things than the most advanced computer at IBM headquarters 30 years ago. And we use them all of the time, part of a 21st century mania for cramming everything we do into every single spare moment of downtime. We text while we're walking across the street, catch up on an email while standing in a queue, and while having lunch with friends, we're surreptitiously checked to see what our other friends are doing. At the kitchen counter, cozy and secure in our domicile, we write our shopping lists on smartphones while we are listening to that wonderfully informative podcast on urban beekeeping. In the morning, while it was still very dark, we heard in the gospel reading for today, Jesus got up and went to a deserted place, and there he prayed. These words seem so fitting for us to hear. Jesus went to a deserted place to pray, to connect, to reconnect, to cherish silence, to cherish the voice of God, to hear once more the presence of God, to acknowledge that he needed to know God was near him, even him, the Son of God. We cannot operate or function as human beings without connecting our soul with the presence of God in places, thin places, known all around us. Let me repeat that. We cannot operate or function as human beings without connecting our soul with the presence of God in places, thin places, all around us. While this idea is being tested and challenged, Jesus showed us clearly that this connection with God was vital to living, abundant living, even for him. Where are those places of holy encounter for you? Where do you find them? They're there, and there are many. Here, at a beach, on a mountaintop, with our family, in a conversation, in compassion, in silence, in our searching, in our prayer, in a place and time set aside. I've experienced many. One that keeps coming to mind for me is on the island of Iona, just off of the main coast of Scotland. It's a place that attracts thousands of pilgrims coming to retreat from the world and the noise of traffic and confusion and focus much more on stillness and the voice of God. Thousands come to be in the abbey to pray, to slow down. It's a holy place observed for hundreds of years by Celtic Christians and mystics and traditional folk. People will walk in and almost immediately feel the thoughts and prayers of so many years previous, as the stones of the place seem to cry out with the peace of God. It is a still place, a place of encounter, because it is centered on but one thing: the awareness of God in all places and at all times. Awakening to God being near, even if we're not always paying attention. It's caring for our soul, which gets forgotten and trampled upon in this world of this time. But like Jesus, we all crave to care for it. We need to care for it, intentionally, lovingly, and to enter into a deeper relationship with the one who first called us into life. Thomas More writes, "Care of the soul is inspiring." He says, "I like to think that it was the theology of soul, worked out so painstakingly and so concretely in Renaissance Italy, that gave rise to the extraordinary art of that period." He says, "The act of entering into the mysteries of the soul, without sentimentality or pessimism, encourages life to blossom forth according to its own designs and with its own unpredictable beauty." He says, "Care of the soul is not solving the puzzle of life. Quite the opposite. It is the appreciation of the paradoxical mysteries that blend light and darkness into the grandeur of what human life and culture can be." Martin Buber writes this: "There is something that can be found in one place. It is a great treasure, which may be called the fulfillment of existence. The place where this treasure can be found is the place on which one stands." He writes, "Most of us achieve only at rare moments a clear realization of the fact that we have never tasted the fulfillment of existence, that our lives do not participate in true, fulfilled existence, that, as it were, it passes true existence by." He says, "We nevertheless feel the deficiency at every moment, and in some measure strive to find somewhere what we are seeking. Somewhere in some province of the world or of the mind, except where we stand, where we have been set. But it is there and nowhere else that the treasure can be found." He says, "The environment which I feel to be the natural one, the situation which has been assigned to me as my fate, the things that happen to me day after day, the things that claim me day after day, these contain my essential task, and such fulfillment of existence is open to me." It's said of certain Talmudic master that the paths of heaven were as bright to him as the streets of a person's native town. It is a greater thing if the streets of a person's native town are as bright to him as the paths of heaven. He says, "For it is here, where we stand, that we should try to make shine the light of the hidden divine life." In the reading from Isaiah this morning, we heard these words: "Have you not known? Have you not heard? Has it not been told you from the beginning?" These were not questions seeking fact-filled answers, rather spiritual questions aimed at our souls and the search that we have to deepen our relationship with the God who invites us closer and nearer. We human beings are searchers and seekers and craving deeper relationship with holiness and wonder. Jesus, even Jesus, did this too, and revealed a need to be in the presence of God in silence and wonder. May we seek out such places on our own current path, places like this church, away from the traffic and complications and technology-filled world, and find instead in the silence and our focus that still, small voice inviting us to open that door and enter. Enter and know that God is near. Amen.